Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Layin Sports Talk. Today is Sunday, October 7th. Before we get started, here are a few reminders. We would love to hear from you, and here are several ways to weigh in. Call us at 646-716-5564. If you prefer not to talk, join us in the chat room at blogtalkradio.com/Tarvino, or follow us on Twitter at Weigh In Sports. Now here's your host, Brian Tarvin, and co-host, Trey Patterson. Let's weigh in.
Hello, everyone, and thanks for joining us this great Sunday evening. Trey, we had so much just craziness in football yesterday, and the baseball playoffs have started. How's everything going with you, man?
Personally, Tarvin, it's been a rough sporting weekend for me and my fandom, but definitely a crazy sports weekend. 3, 4, and 5 lost in college football. The NFL, there's been some upsets today, and then, of course, pandemonium in Atlanta all since Wednesday as well with the playoffs and the Braves getting eliminated. So just a ton of stuff been going on, man.
Yeah, there's been a lot, and we're going to start out, you know, review. We're going to talk about the games, both college and NFL. We're going to really discuss who we think next week when it comes out, who's going to be number one in the BCS, and really talk about some of these teams that really have a legitimate shot to make it. So we'll discuss that. But, man, let's get started on this Major League Baseball. The Atlanta Braves Friday night, a one-game playoff, you know, to see who goes into the playoffs, actually. And, Trey, it was a lot of controversy. The Braves made a lot of errors in the game. They didn't play well. Medlin didn't pitch too well behind those errors. So what did you think about the infield fly call, the umpire called in this game, that really changed the momentum?
Yeah, I thought it was absolutely ridiculous. I saw folks and, you know, through ESPN defending this as, you know, this is a good call. But even Joe Torre, who, you know, from the MLB, who basically came down and said they're not going to allow the appeal of the game, the protest, said it was a judgment call. And the infield fly rule, obviously, like many baseball calls, are judgment calls. So that really said nothing. But, I mean, if you watch baseball the way I know you, Tarvin, I do, you and I do, you can see the infield fly rule called hundreds of times. And you never see it called in that manner. In fact, every time you see a ball into the outfield, that was probably 25, 30 feet into the outfield. In fact, it's usually the infielder's called off. I mean, everybody who's played baseball knows that's actually the left fielder's ball. I mean, he calls off the guy, he makes the catch. It's not an infield play. The infielder only makes it if the outfielder can't for some reason. So there's absolutely no way that was an infield fly rule. I think it was a ridiculous call, Tarvin. And I just hate the fact that yet another game, you know, is decided by these officials, referees and umpires, and I'm sick of seeing their names and their faces in big games.
Yeah, and the infield fly rule, since I'm an umpire, I'll go over it for people that don't know. It is a judgment call, and I don't like the rule that you can't appeal a game for a judgment call, because it's judgment call doesn't mean it doesn't impact the game. So I think they should have been able to review this, but you know what, Trey? They're not going to overturn it just because it takes away from the umpires. But that call is hard to make, and I've heard people say that they needed to call it sooner. Well, I mean, it's really hard to tell when that ball's up in the air, you know, if that shortstop's going to get underneath it. The shortstop can go all the way out to left field if he wants to. It's still the infield fly rule's in effect. If the umpire seems fit that guy's camped underneath it, making an easy play, just a routine play. That didn't look routine to me, Trey. And when the ball was falling in between the shortstop and the left fielder, that's when the umpire put his hand up for the infield fly rule. So I didn't agree with it, but I do understand that's a very difficult call to make.
Yeah, and let's not forget the purpose behind the infield fly rule is not to allow infielders and outfielders to get an out when there's a miscommunication, which is exactly what basically happened there. The rule is meant to allow base runners the opportunity not to get doubled off when you have runners at first and second, so there isn't, you know, an infielder dropping the ball and just turning the easy double play. So even if you look at the spirit of why that rule is in place, nothing makes sense with calling it there. The umpire's call was late, you're right. I mean, he basically called it once he realized no one was going to catch it, which seems super fishy to me. So, you know, that's where I am. You know, obviously Atlanta cost themselves the game. I mean, three errors in the game. Is it going to win you? If you take all those errors off the board, then Atlanta actually wins that game just in the run saved. But, you know, I just can't stand the fact that call ended up being a critical moment in the game and yet another time where we're having to talk about the officials, umpires, and referees in a game versus, you know, what we should be talking about was the errors and the play of the Braves.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, as an umpire in school, they teach you, you know, don't rush your call, because if they had made it sooner, I think you wouldn't have heard much about it as much. You would have still heard the grumbling. But, you know, as soon as that ball was hit and the guy would have raised his hand, I could understand that more. He just panicked. Maybe he did it too fast. But like you said, it is a little fishy to me that he waited to where he exactly saw that nobody was going to catch that ball, really, and then he put his hand up. But what did you think afterwards when the fans throwing debris and on the field and hitting some of the players with it and the umpires?
Well, you know, it's never a classy move to do that. You can understand the fans' frustration. There's really no avenue for them to sort of express their discontent, but that's just not the way to go about it. You don't need to throw anything on the field. You don't need to take that kind of action. It just doesn't look good. It's not classy. It's not what you do. So I didn't particularly like that, Tarvin. Didn't like the fans reacting that way. It just makes it seem, you know, Atlanta fans very unsophisticated, and, you know, that does not bode well for baseball fans doing that kind of stuff.
Well, if that would have happened in a one-game playoff with Boston versus New York, what do you think would have happened?
Who knows? That would have been an interesting scenario. I mean, then maybe, you know, I don't like buying into biases for teams, but it seems like if this had happened to, you know, the Boston in the playoffs or the Yankees, this would have been a different story, Tarvin. This would have been something that things got changed, or it just seems like, you know, if you're not one of those teams, then, you know, oh well.
Oh, exactly. And, you know, people say, well, in the South, that's how they do things. But you let that happen up in New York and see what happens there in Boston, I guarantee you it would have been a lot worse. They would probably have to escort those umpires home and probably stayed with them for a week, because they would have been getting death threats. But, you know, you play so many games, and for it to come down to just one like that, I mean, I do like the wild card rule, don't get me wrong. I mean, I like the extra one, but I'm thinking maybe a best of three. Trey, what do you think? I think one game just leaves too much just for chance and luck. Let's do a best out of three just to give both teams a fair shot.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like any one-game playoff in baseball. It's untraditional, I mean, for one thing. You know, baseball has never been a one-and-done type of playoff atmosphere. It does make it where, you know, you really need to win your division, and it puts the importance back onto winning division, which is where, you know, where the old-school playoffs were. So, you know, it does put the emphasis back on that. But I'd like to see next year them go to something different. I mean, I like the fact that more teams are making the playoffs. I love the, you know, the last month of the season because of that. But I just definitely don't like this one-game playoff.
Yeah, I just wish they would. I love the fact that they've changed things. But, you know, they'll tweak this. They'll tweak it and make it right. It's just somebody's going to complain no matter what. If Atlanta would have won the other night, everything would have been great, you know, to a lot of people. So St. Louis, they're one of those teams, Trey, that just seems like they get better as the playoffs go on. So I think St. Louis could be a very dangerous team in these playoffs if they can make it past this five-game series. But, you know, I don't even like the five-game series, honestly.
Well, you know, I will tell you, I've always thought St. Louis was a very classy program. Fans generally get it. I really heard something from St. Louis after that game that really turned me off on them, and it makes me actually from a team that I probably would have rooted for going to the playoffs as a neutral fan now, made me really hate St. Louis this year. I don't know if you heard this, Tarvin. In the dugout after the game was over, the Cardinals players were chanting, "Infield fly, infield fly." I just think that's just, classless on their part.
The players were doing this, Trey?
The players, yeah.
Wow.
That's
classless from professionals, I could understand fans doing that, but not players.
Yeah, so for me, my perspective, Tarvin, I'm definitely hoping that they get swept out of here. I mean, that, obviously they won it last year, but, I mean, this is just, one of the announcers said boys will be boys, and I was like, well, not so much. I mean, that just doesn't show very much class of team sportsmanship.
Well, I just hated Chipper's last game being played ever. He was at home, and that happened. Even the announcers made mention of it. Chipper's last game, and this is how it's going down. I think Chipper could care less about the debris on the field. I think he just upset they lost. He made an error, and it's just hard to go out a loser like that. But Chipper Jones will be in the Hall of Fame easy, Trey, and he is one of the best Atlanta Braves of all time, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Chipper Jones, class act. I love the guy. He's been a great player. I really kind of wish, and honestly would not be hurt if Chipper Jones went to the American League and played in the DH. I'm not really sure why he didn't do that. The guy can still hit. He's playing the field that wears and tears on his body. Would love to see him play more, but, this guy is on first ballot Hall of Famer as it is right now.
Yeah, Justin Hawk in the chat room said Chipper's upset he threw the ball in the right field. And it just seems like stuff like that happens in big games and elimination games. So Chipper Jones, he is a class act. He does it the right way. I don't think he ever used steroids while he was in Atlanta. He looks the same as he did when he walked on. But he was the face of that organization. So somebody's going to have to step up and take his place. And I don't know if it can be done like that. I don't think you find players like Chipper Jones all the time. It's rare that you find someone that stays his entire successful career with one team.
Yeah, I mean, the players are few and far between. Derek Jeter for the Yankees obviously comes to mind as one of the guys. Ichiro was kind of going to be that guy for Seattle until he was traded. So you don't see it a whole lot nowadays. I mean, players get traded. Even management after a while are very fickle. So you just don't see loyalty from the team and loyalty from players anymore.
Yep, the Braves were loyal to Chipper, and Chipper was loyal to the Braves. We wish him luck. Hope he probably end up coaching somewhere, doing something. I think he'll still be around the game. It's hard for players like him just to leave the game altogether. He might come back. You just never know about Chipper. But the playoffs right now, Detroit has jumped up 2-0 on the Oakland Athletics. Do you think Oakland celebrated a little too much with their division win?
Well, I mean, Oakland's played really tough in those games. Both of them have come down toward, late innings, miscues, hits, like flies, that kind of thing. Detroit hasn't played really well, which, now we're going to Oakland, though. So this Oakland team, if any team can do it, Carvin, they're the kind of team that seems like they have that kind of luck this year. But it just looks like Detroit's too strong and got sort of too much momentum at this point. I mean, having to win 3 games in a row is going to be pretty hard when, Justin Verlander may be the guy going in game 5 if it gets there.
Yeah, but one thing, all 3 games are at home. So if they can get hot, they can do it. And I want people to know I'm not making excuses for the Braves. I'm not saying they would have won the game if that infield fly rule hadn't been called. But it sure would have been excited to see the bases loaded. Was it 0 outs, Trey, in that? I'm trying to remember. Or was it 1 out?
I think it was 1.
Okay. Well, I mean, the way they played on defense, that's why they lost the game. You can't ever leave the game in the hands of officials because they will make mistakes. And you never know, after that basketball in the NBA, the officials were betting on the games and taking money for the mafia. I just don't trust any official anymore. So always take care of it on the field. But before we move off baseball, Trey, is there anything in the playoffs that you want to talk about?
Well, I mean, the other than the Tigers, the Nationals are up 1-0 on the as well in their series, you know, against the Cardinals, which we kind of talked about. The Nationals won today. That was a big win for the Nationals. And then, you know, the Cincinnati San Francisco game, you know, Cincinnati went up 1-0 on Frisco, and the game two is tonight. And New York is leading Baltimore 1-0. So we'll know more about the rest of the games by next show. But, it, you know, looks like the Reds are taking care of what they need to. They look good in their first win. And then really liked what I saw at the Nationals today against St. Louis. Really liked it. Gio Gonzalez was pretty much terrible all day, but really worked at it pretty hard. You get five really end up efficient innings as a bar of runs across the board.
Yeah, and I'm just looking at this, like I said the last show, Trey, I hate the format of this, where if you're the favored team, you're the higher-seeded team, you go on the road for two games in a row to start the series. I'm not in favor of that, but all you have to do is win one, really, if you're that team. Just go on the road, win one, and it's almost in the bag.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, Trey. Well, we will cover baseball more once we get an idea of what's shaking out Wednesday night. We're not going to have a show Wednesday, Trey. We're going to have to move it to Tuesday, or we're going to have to do it Friday, or we're going to have to cancel that. So I just want to tell all the listeners out there now that we will get with you after Trey and I discuss next week what's going on. But let's start out. You want to do college or NFL first, Trey?
Let's do the NFL. Let's end on college.
All right. Start it out for us.
So, Tarvin, our first game was a Thursday night game. It was the Cardinals, who were undefeated, going on the road against the Rams. Tarvin, this Sam Bradford and the Rams look much improved. They took down the Cardinals and Kevin Cole. What did you think about this game?
Well, you and I called it. You know, we called the win on that one. So I looked at Arizona, especially on the road. I think they're going to struggle offensively. Looking at their offensive line, I wasn't impressed. Their defense is pretty good, though. I have to give them that. But Arizona is one of those teams I think that will struggle as the year goes on unless they get some help on that offensive line.
Yeah, I mean, Kevin Kolb, I think, set the NFL record for sacks by in two games. I think it's 15 times he was sacked, something like that. I mean, this team went – I mean, they may be – you know, this is a 4-0 team, and they now maybe be a team that looks like they could lose four in a row. I mean, they have a lot of issues to resolve on the offensive line. I mean, Kevin Kolb, I thought, had a good game, Tarvin. I thought he played really well considering how much he spent on his back. I mean, he was basically getting drilled constantly, so – I actually liked what I saw from him in the game, but the offensive line, they got some issues.
Yeah, and they still need that consistent quarterback play. And, I mean, how long is Colt going to be able to stay healthy, or any quarterback they put in there, if he's getting sacked that many times? The only person I've seen sacked more times than that was Kyle Frazier and Clint Mosley the other day, Saturday against Arkansas. But other than that, man, this Colt kid, he's going to have to get some protection, or they're not going to win many more games.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely.
All right, let's go to a better game.
Well, number four, Carmen, will be played on Monday night at the Texans at the Jets. What do you think is the key to if the Jets can win this game? What's the key to their success?
They are going to have to be able to throw the ball and to set up their run. They're just going to have to be able to move the ball consistently. I think the defense will show up at home Monday night. After being, you know, embarrassed by San Francisco, the Jets are the laughing stock of the NFL right now. So I look for them to bounce back with some pride. But the key is, how well will Sanchez play? Is he going to come out and play lights out over his head, or is he going to resort to playing like he has all season? And I think he's going to resort to playing like he has all season.
Do you think we see Tim Tebow in significant game action on Monday night?
I hope not. If Tim Tebow comes in, it means it's a blowout, probably.
I think, Tarvin, that we may end up seeing, for the listeners too, I think if Sanchez struggles, I think there's going to be a lot of pressure for Tim Tebow to be in this game. I think it'll be a mistake, but I really do think that we could see some more Tim Tebow in this game.
Yeah, man, before we go on, let's say hello to everyone in the chat room. I know Crimson Island's in there, Jason Humphrey, Jason Minson, Joshua Shaw, Justin Hawk, Sonia Minson, Tino Blackstock, and you're in there, Trey, and some others. Just thanks, everybody, for listening to us tonight. We're going to do the best we can. I am give out tonight. I have a puppy in the house, Trey, that is it's like a baby almost, isn't it? It's wearing me out.
Yeah, a little bit, a little bit. It can wear you out.
But thanks, everyone, for listening. And what do you think about that game, Trey? Do you think the Jets have any chance whatsoever to win that game? It is at home. It is at home on Monday night. So.
Well, I mean, when you throw around, like, any chance, I mean, absolutely the Jets have a chance. I mean, this is the NFL. As what we saw today in the NFL, anybody can beat somebody on any given Sunday. I mean, there's a couple of games today that I would have put down money that they had no shot to win. I mean, the Dolphins win today was really surprising for me against the Bengals. But, you know, so the Jets have a chance. I mean, absolutely. I mean, the Texans are unbeatable. But I just don't see it at this point. They just don't have an identity on offense. And their defense hasn't been playing all that great. So, I mean, the Jets, to me, are a team that hasn't found what they need to find to really beat a team as good as the Texans. But, you know, who knows? If Sanchez plays like he's played at times this year, you know, he has his little moments in lightning in a bottle where he figures out how to play the quarterback position, and then, of course, he reverts back. So we'll see which offense shows up. But without Santonio Holmes, I just think the Jets are going to really struggle.
Yeah, and I know we didn't pick this game, but how did Andrew Luck come back from 21-3 down and beat the Packers, Trey? I know that's not on our game, but that's the surprise of the day, in my opinion.
Obviously, one of the bigger surprises, I mean, I think it was 1957, last time the Packers blew an 18-point lead at half. I mean, again, this is where the Packers really seem to not be able to find their offensive their flow, and one of the ways you can tell is how little Jordy Nelson is involved in that offense. I mean, he, without Greg Jennings, you kind of need Jordy Nelson to be involved. And at times there were some route problems from him, but also there were some overthrown balls. Jordy Nelson had found his spots in the zone, was sitting there, and Aaron Rodgers overthrew him. So they are not on the same page at all in that offense. And until they can figure it out, they're gonna keep struggling.
I mean, I think last year was really a fluke. I mean, I think their offense was clicking so good that their defense really didn't matter until they got in the playoffs. Anytime you get into the playoffs, that's when you better be able to play defense. So do the Packers even win their division, Trey, and even get passed around in the playoffs looking at their performance so far this year?
Well, looking at their performance and looking out how good the Bears are looking right now, I don't know that the Packers, they're definitely on the outside looking in for the playoffs right now. I mean, their record is one of the reasons why, obviously, at 2-3. But, I mean, they just can't seem to figure out offensively. And without them scoring 45, 40 points a game, their defense isn't good enough to hold anybody down.
All right. I'm sorry to get us off track, but I had to bring that up. Go over, what's game three?
Well, before we go to game three, I was real sidetracked a little bit. I wanted to ask you about this. I don't know if you caught the Carolina Panthers game, but it came down to something very similar last week, and you were very critical on Ron Rivera last week on the fourth down, and he had less than a yard. They punted the ball, and, you know, they ended up losing the game against the Falcons, where this week they're on the one-yard line. They could have kicked the field goal. They went for the touchdown on fourth and one, and they gave the ball to Cam Newton. They gave him a rollout, and he could throw pass option, Tarvin. And Cam Newton had a wide-open receiver and threw the ball on the ground. Did you get to see the play? And what do you think about, you know, this week it was at Cam Newton's hands and he didn't come through?
Well, that's 2 weeks in a row. You know, I'm not even going to count the Giants game because that was a blowout. But, you know, last week I do think the coach made the mistake. You have 1 yard to get with Cam Newton, but the thing is he fumbled it the snap before. This week I think it's the right call. I think 1 yard away. You have a 6'6", 250-pound quarterback that can do it all. You have to take your chances, but he's having some significant growing pains this second year. So he has to take this as an opportunity to get better and to realize that he's not as great as he thinks he is, that he has to rely on that team and his coaching staff in order to be successful, Trey.
Yeah, I mean, I was – when I saw where they were at 4th-and-1, I thought it was a good call. They're on – you know, less than a yard to go into the end zone to, you know, possibly win the game. You have Cam Newton rolling to a strong side to like the call, and then Cam Newton throws the ball, you know, 2 feet into the ground in front of the open tight end. And I just got to wonder, you know, I mean, what's going on with Cam Newton? I mean, this is not the guy we saw last year at times. He seems to have all kind of things in his head. His accuracy is problematic. He's throwing the ball in the ground in receiver's feet. He's throwing the ball over. So I'm just wondering what's going on with Cam Newton and why he's having such, you know, struggles with his accuracy.
Well, I think he came in that first year, and I think he had too much success. You know, Pro Bowl first year, set all these rookie records, and I think maybe that hunger going into this year, maybe the work ethic wasn't there. I don't know, but I think they have the pieces around them on offense to be very successful. I mean, they're not a bad team. I think he has to really grow up, and I think this year is his year to grow up. I think we talked about that before. I thought he was going to be the leader this year. I was wrong. He's not there yet, but, you know, I am a big Cam Newton supporter, so sometimes I give him a little more credit, but here in the last few weeks I can't give him the credit because he's cost him the game 2 weeks in a row.
All right, Tarver, moving on to our number three game. Speaking of the Atlanta Falcons, 4-0 going into this game. They're now 5-0. The Redskins played them real tough, and I actually thought the Redskins were going to win this game until RG3 went out with basically a busted shin and a concussion. And then Kirk Cousins came in, threw a touchdown pass, but then decided to throw two interceptions and sort of end any debate that he was competing with RG3. So did the Falcons further impress you, Tarvin, or and for those of you in the chat room, or what do you guys think about the Falcons right now?
Man, the Falcons look good. They went on the road against a good Washington team. Not too bad. I mean, they're at home. They play good defense. It just looks like Matt Ryan's growing up before our eyes, Trey. It looks like he's getting that offense. I think it's mainly to do with having the receivers he has with Julio Jones and Roddy White and Tony Gonzalez, a veteran at the tight end position. But looking at the Falcons, their defense is doing a lot better. They held Washington to 17 points. They did get a big 70-yard touchdown from Kirk Cousins once RG3 went out of the game. But I'm very impressed with the Falcons' defense. I'm impressed with their way they keep their poise, Dre. That's one thing about the Falcons this year, the poise I'm seeing out of Matt Ryan.
Yeah, I mean, Julio Jones made some catches that he made them look real routine in this game. But they were tremendously difficult athletic catches, and very impressed with Julio Jones, very impressed with Roddy White. I mean, Roddy White has quietly been one of the best receivers in the entire NFL, but no one seems to mention his name in those lists. But Roddy White's up there, and that Atlanta defense is very aggressive, tenacious. I like their blitzing schemes. They kept RG3 basically, you know, off his game all day, and then when RG3 looked like he was doing something, they knocked him out of the game. I mean, so a lot of credit to the Atlanta Falcons defense in this one because that was what really won this game.
And, Trey, before we move on, we have a caller in queue. I'm going to go to the phone lines. You're on Way In Sports. Who's this?
Hello, this is Michael Adams. How you doing?
Good, Michael Adams. How's everything going?
Oh, nothing. Gamecock fan right here, brother. How you doing?
I would be good if I was a Gamecock fan, that's for sure.
I know that's right. Yeah. I just want to know if y'all think the Gamecocks maybe could run it. If we win the next two games, you think we should be ranked number one?
Honestly, I think if you win next week, you should be probably number one right now. The way the schedule you played and the way your team's performing, if you can keep up that momentum like you did against Georgia last night, Trey, do you agree with me? South Carolina wins, they should go up to number one?
I think if South Carolina wins in an impressive fashion like they did this past week, they're absolutely the number one team in the country because I think you have to reevaluate each week. And Alabama has, you know, they're winning the games, but they're not winning the games like South Carolina is if South Carolina wins next week. So, you know, absolutely, you have to reevaluate and you have to be very impressed with what you saw from South Carolina.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I've been a Gamecock fan since I was 6 years old, since I knew what was going on with football, and I live here in Georgia now, and I'm just, you know, I'm just so excited to be a Gamecock fan now, especially by the way that they, you know, the way they handled the game this weekend, it was just pretty impressive to me, and I was just wondering if everybody else seen it that way.
Yeah, I definitely see it that way. I was, out of all the games yesterday being played, I was more impressed with South Carolina than any other team. To play a top five opponent and to play with that much intensity, and that defensive line is the best in the country. It's the best I've seen in a while.
Dave and Clowney, best in the nation, if you ask me.
Oh, definitely.
That Clowney, that seven, he's tough. He's tough. I've seen him play since he was in eighth grade. I knew he was going to be something special.
Well, he definitely is, and I think he has another year of eligibility, or he's a sophomore right now, so he'll be back next year, definitely.
Yes, he does. He has, and then, you know, with Lattimore having, you know, with Lattimore getting the knee injury is probably the best thing that ever happened to our university, to be honest. I mean, you know, he has to come back this year, and Georgia couldn't do nothing with the play action. Well, you know, when the play action fake went down to Lattimore, they had to respect it so much to where Connor Shaw could just pull it up and just throw it. I mean, and, you know, the receivers were wide open. I mean, it was just, you know, it was something, you know, something good to watch. And I was glad, like I say, I was glad to be able to sit back and watch it. And, you know, because I was nervous about the game all week. And, but, you know, I live here in Georgia now, you know, but I'm from Carolina. And it was, you know, I had a lot of friends to call me and tell me that, hey, y'all did it to us yesterday. There's nothing we can say about y'all, because y'all just showed yesterday y'all are a good team, and y'all should be able to compete now nationally instead of just, you know, instead of just worrying about the SEC East. So
yeah, well, congratulations on your team, and call back in the future and let us know what you think of the Gamecocks.
Yeah, I definitely will, man. I definitely will. Thank y'all for having me.
Thank you, sir. We're going to go to the phone lines. You're on Way In Sports. Who's this?
This is Jason.
Hey, Jason, what's going on, man?
What's up, Tarvin?
What's up, Trey?
Man, I just had to call in because you're ready to crown the Gamecocks number one, really?
No, I said if they win this week on the road, then
they could
move up to the number one team in the country right now with what they played on their schedule and the way they looked last night. But they have to keep that intensity up to get that ranking.
Schedule? They struggled against Kentucky. They were down two touchdowns to Kentucky.
They're getting it together.
Yep.
I'm not knocking the Gamecocks, but it's like, dude, let a couple of more weeks flow before we start crowning USC, you know, a contender. Everybody forgets. People quickly forget about those past games.
Yeah, they do. And there's two games in a row. South Carolina is going to be able to. We're going to see how good they are. They go on the road to LSU. And then they go to Florida. So those two games, if they win those two, I don't really see anybody on their schedule remaining until the SEC championship game that could give them any trouble besides Clemson, really, maybe.
There you go. Those three games, you just hit it. Florida, LSU, Florida, and Clemson.
They get through those unscathed, then we'll see. But, I mean, honestly, when you compare the two teams, Bama and South Carolina, do you honestly think that South Carolina is going to do anything against them?
Yeah, the only thing I'm saying is the defensive line, Jason, of South Carolina is scary. So if you're an Alabama fan and you're looking at your schedule, do not want South Carolina to make that game because they're the one team in the SEC right now, probably the only team that can beat Alabama.
Oh, yeah. But who has the number one offensive line in the country?
Can try.
I mean, you got to look at that, too. I'm just saying, I'm like, bring it on, but I don't see it. I mean, to me, when I watch South Carolina, as far as offensively, they're one-dimensional. What's the easiest scheme for Saban to plan against? Someone who's one-dimensional, and Lattimore's not going to run on them. I mean, that's what I see.
I don't know, 2 years ago when they played, Lattimore had a big game, and Garcia was the quarterback, but it won't be in South Carolina this year. So I'm just saying that South Carolina's defensive line is good enough to really keep them in any game that they play. Clowney's the real deal. I'm glad he didn't go to Alabama, by the way. That they would have
I'm sure you are glad.
Another thing, I'm
not from Bama, guys, I promise.
Rivalry is just about as bad as Bama and Auburn. That is a big rivalry with UGA, and I know it's some hurt UGA dog fans right now. I mean,
yeah,
I watched, and I'm like, really? Wow. So carry on. We just had to put our two cents in. We think it's funny.
Yeah, I'm not ready to crown them, you know, upper echelon yet, because I still have that really fixated in my mind when I watched them against Kentucky, and I'm like, okay.
And a couple of other games.
And a couple of other games. I mean, understand, I agree, what they did to Georgia was
awesome.
But it's one game.
Yeah,
so,
I loved it, actually. I loved it, actually. That's the only highlight of my day, really. So.
It was a game.
Harvin, think about this in this debate, too. I mean, we've only seen Alabama really against one opponent in one game, too. So that's the reason why we got to play these games out. That's the reason why the games against top 10 teams will matter for South Carolina more, because, you know, Alabama doesn't have any of those opponents to play. So it's up to South Carolina to play well and try to jump Alabama. But, I mean, Alabama hasn't been tested really at all either, so we don't really know what to make of that either.
Yep, and that's the whole argument. And one thing that we were having a discussion in one of the groups today, and people kept bringing up ranked teams. And I'm like, you know what? How can you bring up a ranked team? The rankings change week to week. Come on, Michigan was preseason ranked number 8 when we played them. Arkansas dropped from the rankings the week before we played them. And people want to look at schedules and say, oh, that's not a ranked team. That's not a ranked team. That's a ranked team. Yeah, they might be ranked this week, but they might not be next week. Each game counts.
Yep, it does. Each game counts. At the time they played them, Michigan was a top 10 team. So Alabama has a top 10 win on their schedule, and now so does South Carolina. So they're going to have two more back-to-back weeks. I just think it's going to be too hard for South Carolina to go on the road 2 weeks in a row against, you know, two of the top teams in the SEC, at least two of the top four teams in the SEC.
Oh, yeah, because LSU's going to be wanting revenge.
Yeah, and they're home, too. So I'm just waiting for Mettenberger to see when he can start playing. But, guys, we'll be talking about college in a little while, so come back on if you want to.
All right, man.
All right. Good to hear from you.
Yep.
So, Trey, some people aren't ready to crown South Carolina yet, but I'm not either until that last week. But I really am scared of South Carolina if I'm in the SEC right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll get more on South Carolina when we break down their game. But if I'm talking about the next NFL game, moving on, the Eagles and the Steelers. The Steelers nipped the Eagles today. Vic played like he played in the first two games, turning the ball over. What do you think about Michael Vick? What do you think about the Eagles now?
Man, the Eagles are one of those teams, when they're home, they're probably going to win, and when they're on the road against a good team, they're probably going to lose. You can't go on the road and turn the ball over and expect to win, especially not against a team like Pittsburgh. Even though they're down, they're not what they used to be. Pittsburgh's still Pittsburgh. They have Ben Roethlisberger. So Michael Vick needs to learn how to play that position without turning the ball over. If I'm Philadelphia, I'm trying to find me a quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not impressed at all, Tarvin, with what Michael Vick did today. I mean, fumbling the ball when he was rushing, he seemed to basically be panicked in the pocket a lot. Not impressed at all with the Eagles. They didn't get the ball into McCoy, who really seemed to have some room at times, and they didn't go back to him. So, again, you got to wonder about the offensive philosophy of what the Eagles are trying to do, and do they really know what it is they are trying to do on offense?
No, I picked the Steelers. I picked the Eagles to win their games they won, and I picked them to lose the games they lost. So I feel like I have the Eagles down pat, Trey.
Yeah, I mean, the Eagles are, you know, we knew that they were going to have problems turning the ball over, and that it's impossible to do what they were doing early in the season, where they were just turning the ball over constantly, and they seem to be winning. Well, the Steelers are too good of a football team, even now, for that to happen. You know, they got three of their guys back healthy for this game, and all three of them contributed. Mendenhall looked good coming back from his ACL injury. So, and I looked at Pittsburgh to be a team that's going to keep improving, Tarvin.
Yeah, I noticed one thing in that game, Ben Roethlisberger on third down on that last drive. I mean, he was just completing those clutch passes, even third and long. I think it was third and 12 early in that drive. He completed a big pass. But he's a clutch quarterback. You can't give him a chance with the ball at the end of the game usually. He'll beat you.
Yeah, I mean, Big Ben looks back into form. I mean, the Pittsburgh still had some definite issues to work out, but did like the fact that they took care of business. And obviously, they were at home, but they actually seemed to make the Eagles pay for their turnovers, where teams in the past have seemed to let them off. So definitely a good step for the Steelers to pull at 2-2, and we'll see what the Eagles do now. They're 3-2.
All right.
Well, our number one game, the Broncos and Patriots, Manning and Brady. Brady got the better of him for yet again, 9-4 all time against Manning now. Did you have any surprises with the Patriots play?
No, I mean, I expected the Patriots to get that win. I had no doubt in my mind that they were going to come in and get that win. So good job for them to be able to come in and take care of business at home. I just don't think Denver's good enough to get a win on the road like that just yet.
Yeah, I mean, what you saw out of Denver has got to be a little bit concerning for you. When Denver had a shot to actually get in this game for real, they had a nice, basically good play, swing pass. Wilson Gahee was wide open, and he drops the ball. Another time that, you know, they're driving down the field in the red zone, and Wilson Gahee fumbles. That's got to be concerning for you as a Bronco fan, because, I mean, with those types of mistakes and miscues when it really matters the most, those are the kind of things that teams seem to do over and over again. So they need to solve whatever it is, why McGee couldn't seem to get it together, because he's had some issues with that in the past. So they're going to have to go back and sort of rally as a team, because this is the kind of loss because of those turnovers and, you know, the big stage of Brady versus Manning that they can send the team down. So we'll have to see how the Broncos rally in their next game.
Well, before we get off the NFL, the Baltimore Ravens went on the road at Kansas City, a team that people have thrashed and scored a lot of points. They hit three field goals, Trey, in this game to win 9-6. Are you ready to put Baltimore in the upper echelon of teams with performances like this on the offensive side of the ball?
No, I mean, this performance, obviously, from Baltimore is, you know, offensively, this is where a lot of people who criticize Joe Flacco, this is the kind of game that they come out and say, see, we told you so. Joe Flacco isn't a good quarterback. So, I mean, Flacco was up and down in this game, and Ray Rice had trouble finding running room. And you're right, a team like the Chiefs, who had been gassed by everybody and anybody, really played well on defense. So you got to be a little bit concerned if you're Baltimore and your long-term success, because they're not going to be able to hold the good teams in the NFL to 6 points.
No, and especially on the road. You know, going on the road and playing like that, you have to have usually put up more than 9 points to win. So I consider the Baltimore Ravens very lucky today to get past this game with a win, but they did. Hey, you win and move on in the NFL. It's survival every week. So good job, Baltimore. And now let's go to what everybody's waiting for, college football. And we'll start with the number 10 game. I believe that's Auburn, Arkansas, right?
It is.
Remember I told you, I've told you all week, and I told about everybody I come in contact with. All I heard all week was how Auburn was going to kill Arkansas, that they were done. And I really believe they were done, too. But one thing I know is that Arkansas can score points. I mean, they have Tyler Wilson, a great quarterback. But Auburn's offense is what concerned me going into this game, because even though Arkansas's defense is bad, well, so is Auburn's offense. So something had to give, and Arkansas's defense, Trey, came in and just made Auburn look like a junior high team yesterday.
Well, here's a stat that I didn't know about until I was watching the game, and that Auburn was, in red zone attempts, the third worst team in the entire FBS. And there was, like, maybe Toledo and Buffalo were worst, as in, you know, when they getting into the red zone and scoring. And that'll tell you how anemic Auburn's offense is, and I didn't realize things were that bad statistically. And, you know, we all thought they were showing improvement, but what we saw from Auburn was a huge regression. Kyle Frazier obviously got benched. I mean, you have to be superbly concerned about what Chizik's doing, about what Van Gorder and your offense and your defense are doing. I mean, the problems seem to abound, and I don't see any improvement in this game. I mean, Tyler Wilson, who had basically looked terrible the week before against Texas A&M, looked like Tyler Wilson of old. Of course, Niles Davis didn't look very good against Arkansas. But as an Auburn fan, and those guys, I know we have Auburn fans in the chat room, tell us what you think about Auburn. Where are your expectations now? What do you think about your coach, and what do you think about your future?
Well, you said something, Trey, about Van Gorder. I think he's done a good job at Auburn right now. I think, you know, looking at the defense, it seems like they know what's going on a little more week to week. I mean, they held Arkansas to 24 points. And I know that's a lot compared to what they've been doing, but if you would have told me before the game that Arkansas would have scored 24 points, I'd probably told you Auburn might have pulled it out. But you get sacked eight or nine times, you turn the ball over again five times in a game, and I think that's the second time this year that's happened. They had the Mississippi State game and the Arkansas game, but I blame the coaches for this. I mean, execution has to happen. I'm not seeing any development on the offensive line of these freshmen and the sophomores, whatever. I mean, I know you're freshman and sophomore, but you think, Trey, going week to week that you would get better each and every week as long as you're not getting a lot of injuries. But I see Jeff Grimes, the coach of the offensive line. I don't know what he's doing during practice, but it just doesn't seem like it's working, whatever it is. The quarterback development has gone downhill. There's no physical, powerful running back on the team. That Mike Blakely, I thought he would be it. He fumbles a lot. I don't know about Chizik. I've heard a lot of Auburn fans say that Chizik needs to be fired right away, Trey. Do you think he needs to be fired?
No, I mean, here's the balance you have to have. And I think Chizik is a decent head coach. And I'll quantify that by saying this. He has to have superbly talented coordinators to do well. And he doesn't have that. Your offensive coordinator, I think he's probably your first line of problem, and I think he should probably get an axe before Chizik, because Chizik is actually doing a very good job of recruiting in Auburn. I mean, he's getting top talent there. But I don't think Chizik is the kind of guy who's going to be down in the X's and O's and going to be a guy who's going to come up with the next great offensive scheme. I just don't think that's him. He needs somebody, a strong offensive coordinator and a strong defensive coordinator, to make him a good coach. And so I don't know if I'd pull a ship, you know, out of the port yet, Tarvin, on him, but I think it's time for your offensive coordinator to go.
I totally agree. Chizik needs to stay right now, because I want to see what he does with these recruiting classes, and it's all about the coordinator. Gus Malzahn leaving, hurt, losing Michael Dyer, and like I said before, and people don't listen, Tommy Tuberville, he left it all empty. But Scott Loeffler, just because he developed a good running game at Temple, doesn't mean he's ready to come in the SEC and go against these complex defenses week in and week out. So, I mean, he hasn't even gotten to the hardest part of his schedule yet. So that's what concerns me. Auburn has one win right now, and I see two probably guaranteed wins on the schedule remaining. And I'm looking at, as an Auburn fan, one of the biggest ones out there. I just don't see a chance of a bowl game this year, Trey.
I think even though Auburn wasn't supposed to, you know, obviously this wasn't a competition year for the national crown, this is a year that I think many of us, even from the outside, looked at Auburn and said, you're going to go to a bowl. Like, you're going to be a decently strong SEC team. Like, you're going to be competitive. And to see what they've put on the field this year has to be, I mean, I can't imagine looking at it from my Auburn perspective, but looking at it from my perspective, I keep picking them to win, and they keep letting me down. And so it's frustrating even for me, because, I mean, this is supposed to be a better SEC team. They have the talent. Where is the execution? Where is the performance? And, you know, has to be very frustrating for Auburn fans, knowing that the talent is on the roster, but just knowing that there seems to be no chemistry, no offensive execution, no defensive schemes. It just seems to be a complete breakdown from the coach, you know, down.
Well, Sonia said something in the chat room. You know, we've talked about this before. There's someone in the coaching staff that's causing problems, and that's probably right. I think Chizik's going to have to show he's a good head coach to get out of this. But looking at Chizik's losses since he's been at Auburn, let's go away from the Cam Newton days, because we know Auburn won every game that year, so I don't want to get into that. But his losses have been mostly by double digits, Trey. Every loss he gets is usually a blowout. So that concerns me the most. So Auburn's going to have to go. I'm concerned that they change too much. They change too fast. You spent years creating an offense for the spread, and then all of a sudden you do a hard change over to the pro style. I just think with that kind of talent on the field that maybe you should have adjusted maybe a little bit, just, you know, kept the spread in place until you could install your offense. I just think right now these guys have no clue how to even get a first down. It's sad to watch, because I watched that game yesterday and I didn't even make a comment through the entire game. For the first time in my life, I sat there and watched the game without saying a word, because it just didn't surprise me. And that's the bad thing about that game, Trey. It didn't surprise me that we lost like that.
And here's my question, and this does go to Gene Chizik. I mean, you have the spread. You recruit a very, very high, you know, caliber recruit in Kyle Frazier. He's going to be your starter this year. You know that going in. You know, I mean, obviously it was a competition, but I think that was just words. I think Kyle Frazier was the guy they wanted to start. But you change his entire offense, and you go away with what is a strength for him. You bring an offensive coordinator who is not a spread guy. You bring in, you know, pro-style coordinator. You change your system. Does that make you question, you know, Chizik, why you would have a full-scale, complete change of offensive, you know, whole philosophy, Tarvin? I mean, does that worry you as an Auburn fan?
It does. It does. And it also concerns me that he actually hired Loeffler. I mean, I don't know what he saw in him, but it might be that was his only choice at the time that he could. He had to get somebody in place before recruiting. But if I'm Chizik, I'm going to hire this guy, but I'm going to let him know what I want to do. You know, these are my expectations. And I'm sure Chizik had to have said that, knowing going into this season that this was going to happen in waves. You can't tell me the head coach of Auburn didn't realize that this team was going to be in the shape it's in. I mean, I'm not seeing any development whatsoever of the offensive line or the quarterback. I mean, I just don't know, Trey, if Chizik's going to last. I don't want him to get fired, trust me. I think he's a great man, but I want to see him one more year, Trey, with a recruiting class, because if they go and fire Gene Chizik right now, I mean, you're looking at a great recruiting class coming in. I'm talking about some of the best defensive players ever to play probably on our team. I think it would be a huge mistake. And plus, he has a $7 million buyout. So, and another thing, who's available as the head coach, Trey, that you would see Auburn wanting right now?
Yeah, I mean, there's some guys who are out there, but they don't seem interested. I mean, like, I would love to see, like, a Bill Cowher come into. I mean, that's a guy no one's talking about, retired NFL coach. But I mean, there's guys out there who I think would be phenomenal coaches in the college game. And then you have, obviously, Charlie Strong at Louisville, although I saw an interview with him, and he says that he's going to stick with Louisville and because he valued them giving him a shot. So, you know, there's some guys out there, but you're right. I mean, who's the next generation of coaching talent? Chris Peterson staying at Boise State. Some of these guys are staying at the schools versus taking them as, you know, a one-season jump, like, you know, kind of like the old ball coach at Florida did before he went to Ohio State up there now, where he's having all this success. But, you know, I mean, this is the kind of thing now. Is like, well, who is next, Tarvin? Who would you get in?
I mean, I've heard the name John Gruden come to mind, you know, out in the open, but I just don't think Gruden's going to want to coach anymore. I think I heard somebody say it. He wants to be the next John Madden. I think he has a sweet setup, but I do not want Bobby Petrino coming to Auburn. Sorry, I don't want Charlie Strong either. So I think the way Chizik's recruiting right now, if I was Auburn, the only smart thing to do is to keep this coach and let him work his way out of it. I mean, he makes good money, and he's an intelligent person. He just, like you said, Trey, you hit it right on the head with the coordinator issue. That's where it's at right now. And Trooper Taylor's been very quiet here lately. Have you noticed that, Trey?
Yeah, I haven't heard anything.
Exactly. And when Tanya said that about the coaching staff, I think it could be something to do with him. And I don't know. It's just I've been thinking that for a while. I did drink the Kool-Aid at first for a couple of years, but something's wrong there, and I think it's with that. But I also think it's with the offensive coordinator. I think it might be the coordinator and Trooper going at it or Looper, but I don't want to spend too much more time on this game. But if Auburn's going to win, they're going to have to fire that coordinator tomorrow morning.
Yeah, I mean, another school that seems to be sticking. I mean, you know, looking at the other side of the ball, I mean, Arkansas got an important win for them and, you know, probably bought John L. Smith more time. And I think that's the wrong decision for Arkansas as well, because, you know, I think Arkansas needed to move John L. Smith, and I think this win's actually going to hurt them overall for the season, because now John L. Smith's probably going to stay for the whole year, and they really need to get rid of him as well. If you're an Arkansas fan, I don't think General Smith's helping you at all.
Well, Trey, I'm going to bring – I just went off the studio, and I apologize. Tino, how's everything going there?
Man, I'm doing all right, guys. How y'all doing?
Hello.
I'd be better if we weren't 1-4 right now.
Yeah, man, I agree 100%, man. I'm real sore, man, and I'm tired because I got to continuously get up from the couch and go turn the TV now thanks to me breaking my remote, you know, while I was watching the game. Yeah. How's everything going, man? How y'all guys doing, man?
I'm doing good, man.
That's good, man. I had a buddy call in earlier, man. I was telling everybody about the show, man, a Gamecock fan of mine. He's a good buddy of mine. How well did he do when he called in?
Oh, he did great. He was excited about his Gamecocks as well as he should be, you know.
Yeah, it was a big game for him, man. I mean, the Gamecocks haven't had a game that big, and they never have. You know, some of they did good. They actually impressed me. I predicted the Gamecocks could win, but they really impressed me, man. How did they do for you guys?
Great.
We'll definitely break this game down more, you know, but I was shocked at how impressed. I mean, I picked South Carolina to win this game. I thought they would win by at least 10. I really thought they were going to dominate the game, especially in the second half. I love their defense, but did not expect them to jump on Georgia the way they did. I mean, they really just put their
– Wow.
They really got to their throats and didn't let up.
Yeah, I agree. But about the Auburn game, you know, I ain't going to lie, Tar, I was really upset, man, you know, about – the whole game, you know, how everything transpired. We went into the game. It's like we didn't have – we looked flat, in other words. I mean, before we had leaders on defense. We had Josh Bynes, a good buddy of mine. You know, he was a leader on defense. Now we lack an identity. And I never am with firing a coach or anything like that. Gene Chizik is the man. We've had a good recruiting class for the last X amount of years. I'm going to say since 2009, we've had a decent recruiting class every year. But our problem is we're losing a lot of kids, you know, for off-the-field incidents, our grades, are all, we've lost a lot of recruits. And now we do have a great recruiting class coming in. And
yep.
Everybody keeps comparing us to Alabama because we won one national championship. And I really think if we wouldn't have won a national championship, we wouldn't really be having this discussion. Everybody wants to compare us to Alabama. I mean, me personally, I don't care for Alabama. They're a great team, but you can't compare us to them. We're not in their category as of yet. We can be, but if we fire Chizik right now, that's going to set Auburn back on a minimum of 3 to 5 years because of recruit-wise, the class we got in. Now, the offensive coordinator, that's a big problem we have right there. Gene Chizik's put it in his hands, and you can tell that if you watch the game, their facial expressions towards each other, it was not perfect. You know what I mean? You could tell there was something there. The defensive coordinator, he is the man. He's really doing good. Yeah, Arkansas scored on us, but we're really where we need to be to make the plays, and we're making the plays now. You know what I mean? So if we keep Van Gorder, our defense is going to go nowhere but up. But I think changing that offense on the kid, Frazier, was too much at one time. It was just – he was overwhelmed right now. He's confused out there, and you could tell that he's not confident. He's just out there. He's just really just in a daze, man. He doesn't even look like he – at times understands the game or what's going on. He just looks lost. And I think putting Mosley in was an okay thing. I'm not a Mosley fan, but Mosley did win a bowl game for us, so he deserves the right to go out there and had opportunity to play. What do you think about that, Tarvin?
I think putting Mosley in the game, when you see the offensive line struggling, putting a quarterback that can't run a 9.2 in the game, is a bad move. I think putting the freshman in would have been a little better. And Trotter won the game for us last year. Actually, it wasn't Mosley. I've never been a Mosley fan.
Yeah, Trotter won the bowl game. You're right. Trotter won the bowl game, but Mosley got us there. I mean, Mosley's not a game winner. Frazier, I think, could be the answer, but I think he's overwhelmed, and I think he's confused right now, man. I mean, what do you think, Tarvin?
Yeah, I mean, I think he is confused, and I'll never put a kid down. I mean, that's going out there and playing for free. And Mosley, I mean, he's a player. He comes out there and he tried to compete, but it all starts, man, up front with the big guys. And these guys aren't blocking right now. They're not making any adjustments. And the quarterback, if you had Cam Newton back there Saturday, we'd have lost that game. The offensive line has the block, but. But Tino, man, I appreciate the call as always. You make it fun calling in the show, and thanks for spreading the word about our show, man.
Oh, man, no problem, man. And, Trey, look, keep your head up, buddy. I hopefully you get your shoestrings back on Monday. You know, Florida State was upset for me. I was depressed when I seen the score. All I did was think about you. You know, I sent you an email. I wrote you. You haven't responded back. And I'm glad you made it to the show tonight, buddy. I'm glad. Hopefully Monday your wife will give you your shoestrings, the shower curtain, and all your covers and stuff back, buddy, because I've been where you are right now. And you know what I mean? Keep your head up. Y'all got a chance to rebound and go far. We don't. We probably won't make it to a bowl game, buddy. But just know that Tino's here if you need me, buddy. I'm one phone call away. All right?
Thanks, Tino. We're going to go to the line real quick. You're on Weigh-In Sports. Whoops, hold on. One second. All right, you're on Weigh-In Sports. Who's this?
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, this is Lacey.
Hey, Lacey, what's up?
Nothing. Driving to Florida, listening to y'all show.
Okay.
Okay. I just had to call in. It's about a 4-hour drive, but it's all right. Listen, I have got to call and vent for a second. I rarely call in to anybody, but Saturday, that Auburn game was pathetic. I was so upset that I turned it off in the fourth quarter. I've never seen a game that bad ever. And that's a lot coming from me. So I just wanted to vent for a second.
Well, that's totally fine. And you think coming off a bye week with a little momentum, even losing LSU, that we'd have come out and took care of business. That's probably one of the worst performances I've seen in a long time out of those guys.
It is. And, I mean, it sucks being, you know, the laughing stock in the state of Alabama. I hate being compared to Alabama. Just like Tino said, I mean, it's embarrassing. We need to be a legitimate competitor every single year. Not, you know, a 7-win team. We need, I mean, come on, 10 wins every year. This needs to be, you know, I mean, I'm sorry. It just gets me so upset.
Well, I totally understand. And a lot of Auburn fans are in that boat. But you know what? When they rebound and they put it back together, you'll be happy. It'll probably be next year, but you'll be happy again, I promise.
Yeah. Well, anyways, I just wanted to call and give my 2 cents.
All right, thanks for the call, and Sonia told me to tell you hello.
Oh, hey, everybody.
All right. Well, you take care. Thanks for the call.
All right. Y'all too.
All right. Thanks. All right, Trey, well, take us down the line, sir.
Yeah, just one comment in the chat room, and I actually heard this during the game. CBS was talking about Arkansas-Auburn being the pillow fight of the week, which – you know, just that kind of stuff. I mean, I don't agree with that kind of commentary from broadcasters, but that is kind of the state of where that game was, and just very disappointing for you and me and all of us who picked Auburn to win that game, sent off the bye. They didn't play as well as they should have. But moving on.
And that female announcer, Trey, that's how you know your program's in trouble, when you have her commentating your game.
Yeah, I was like, I knew that it was the B crew, put it that way.
All right, let's move on.
Well, Tarvin, this was the game that I heard everyone talking about on ESPN. 2-1 Oklahoma traveling to 4-0 Texas Tech, number one defense in the country. Yada, yada, yada. They got blown out.
Well, again, that's Tommy Tuberville there. Everybody was comparing Texas Tech's defense to Alabama's, and they get blown out at home. No surprise to me, Trey. That's exactly how I thought it would go.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. I mean, this was one of those games where you look at it and you're like, okay, we're hyping up Texas Tech because they're undefeated and we need something. You know, we need a storyline here. But, I didn't think this game was going to go any other way than Oklahoma blowing out Texas Tech, and that's exactly what happened. Really no surprises. This Oklahoma did look better. Then, you know, Landry Jones showed the kind of quarterback that he should be. So, a good step for Oklahoma, Tarvin.
Yeah, very good. But Oklahoma, to me, is still, you know, they're still not there. They're not going to win their conference. They'll be competitive, but something's wrong with Landry Jones. I don't think they'll turn it around. But the beating Texas Tech, nothing to beat your chest about, but it sure is better than losing to them, man.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's a good win for Oklahoma because this was a trap game. People were saying Oklahoma could lose this game, and they didn't. They went out, they handled their business the way a good team is supposed to do on the road against a quality opponent, you know. So I liked what they did. I liked the fact that they went out and just stuck it to Texas Tech and said, you know, we're the better team. This is not gonna, we're not gonna be tripped up by this game at all.
And Sonia, going back to Sonia's comment in the chat room, she said, "Don't trash the female starving," but she does suck talking about the announcer for the Auburn game.
Yeah, I mean, she's not the best.
All right, take us to the next.
This game annoyed me because I had this game picked as an upset. 3-1 Iowa State at number 15 TCU, starting quarterback out. I talked to my buddy who is an Iowa State guy. He said, don't pick Iowa State. So I didn't pick Iowa State. I even mentioned him on the show last week. And then they go out and they beat TCU. So actually, I was hanging out with my buddy this weekend telling him how he made me miss this pick because I actually trusted an insider, and I got burned. So Iowa State taking down TCU, and TCU had the nation's longest winning streak. What did you guys think about this one?
Oh, exactly, man. You did call it, and he talked you out of it. You did say that. I remember that. But it just goes to show you, when you lose your leader of your team, it's just going to be hard to keep control of it. You can't just replace. You can replace a corner, a safety, a receiver, a running back, but it's just hard to replace a quarterback that has experience like that. So I was the dummy, too, that picked TCU. I should have done a little more analysis on that game, and maybe I could have picked the upset trick.
Well, you know, I had a feeling about it, and I'd seen Iowa State play. I know it was a terrible game to watch, but the Iowa game, so I kind of thought they were a little bit better than folks were making them out to be. And I knew TCU was going to start that freshman, at least that's what it looked like on paper, was their backup. So, you know, those are always the recipes for disaster, but TCU being at home, you know, and somebody from Iowa State telling me that, you know, don't pick them. But, you know, you got to be impressed with Iowa State. They seem to beat somebody like this every single year. And, you know, as an Iowa State program, I mean, you can't be more happy than having a team that's going to beat somebody ranked every year. So very impressed with what Iowa State did.
Yep. All right, let's take it on.
All right, so to our folks, this next one's kind of tough for me to talk about. Like Tino, I think we've all had our shoestrings taken from him at times this year. I know Tino is going up without shoestrings for the entire season because he's worried. But Florida State went to NC State and just laid an egg. And before I really get into my hate on this game and what I thought about what Jimbo Fisher did in the fourth quarter, I'm going to ask you guys what you thought and what you saw.
What I saw was a team that went out early, that got a lead, and just played conservative, that they didn't want to lose it anymore. I think we talked about that earlier. You said that, actually, and it made a lot of sense, Trey. Jimbo Fisher, and if you're a Florida State fan right now, you're very disappointed because looking at that schedule, there's nobody on that schedule that should beat Florida State. And for you to lose a game right now just really knocks you out of the national championship hunt, in my opinion. But it was just poor coaching and poor execution, Trey. That's all I can say about that game.
Yeah, I mean, here's my breakdown. We were up 16-0, and I started seeing play calling change. It was three sort of inside-the-tackle runs and punt, three sort of inside-the-tackle runs and punt. And you can kind of see, like, the lethargic motion type. You see the motions from the players in the offense. They were just lethargic going through it. You see the coaches were calling very conservative plays. The players were just kind of running through the motions. And it's like, you know, where is the actual play calling? Where is the actual coaching? Because Jimbo Fisher, to me, failed this game. He's the reason I believe that we lost this game, because this play calling in the fourth quarter was awful. We get the ball with less than 3 minutes to go, and there was an easy way for us to just make a statement and run and basically finish the game. And what did FSU do? Three more runs on the tackle, the same plays they've been running the entire fourth quarter. And that's not the kind of team play, and that's not the kind of coaching that wins national championships. And this is where FSU is not for real. I mean, this is why. They have the talent, but, you know, the coaches don't put them in a position to do well. I mean, the coaches didn't give you have a fifth-year Heisman, you know, guy type quarterback, and who do you give the ball to? I mean, you give the ball to a running back almost the entire fourth quarter. Let E.J. Manuel throw the ball. And that was my, you know, as I'm ranting at the TV, was why doesn't he keep the ball in E.J. Manuel's hands the entire fourth quarter?
Yeah, and then, I mean, look, you know, when you want to be a contender, you want to be taken seriously. You have to play with a killer attitude. You have to score points. 16-0 on the road is not comfortable sometimes. And then, especially like you said, that last drive, make a first down or two. You know, put the field position back. And I believe NC State blocked the punt, you know, on that last one. So, yeah, Jimbo Fisher failed in that game. I think he didn't have his guys ready. Who did they play last week? That wasn't the Clemson game, was it?
That was South Florida.
Okay, the South Florida game. I would have understood it more if it was coming after the Clemson game, but that's 2 weeks ago. So I'm not sure what these guys, if they were even told by the coaches to take this game seriously or not, because I even laughed when you put this game on the board. I was like, come on, Trey, this is a blowout, man. Florida State's got this. But NC State played better. They're getting better, and it just goes to show you any day anything can happen, especially in a conference game on the road.
Yeah, just the hesitancy for Jimbo Fisher to put the game into his best player's hands. I mean, they have so many playmakers at wide receiver. Yeah, Chris Thompson's having a great season, but in the fourth quarter, it was like they tried to start running the ball, like started to chew the clock with 15 minutes left to go in the fourth quarter. And that's the kind of recipe that always leads to upsets in big games on the road when you're playing a conference game. And this is that's you can tell an upset's brewing when you start to see your team doing that in the fourth quarter, and that's where I knew it was going to be a loss. So because of the way Jimbo Fisher was calling offensive plays, so very frustrating for a Florida State fan. But there's no shot there in the national championship picture anymore. No shot.
Yeah. Well, hold on. We're going to go to the line real quick, Trey. We have a caller. You're on Way In Sports. Who's this, and where are you from?
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, this is Frank. I'm calling from Rutgers University. How's everyone doing today?
Good, Frank. How are you?
I'm doing well. I don't know if you guys heard, but, you know, we're pretty much in the top 20 in the country now, ranking football. I know you guys are huge football, college football fans. And have you guys been, you know, hearing about Rutgers, hearing about all the noise we've been making?
I've actually seen the noise you've been making.
We got Gary Novak quarterback. You know, we got some big, strong, athletic receivers. You know, I'm actually friends with Kyle Flood's wife. She is the head coach of Rutgers football. And at the game this past Sunday against UConn, you know, after the game, I was talking to, you know, Mrs. Flood. I was like, you know, great game. Your husband's a great coach. We actually went back to their house for a barbecue. And then she was in the kitchen doing dishes after dinner. And I spread my ass cheeks and took a shit on her face. I took a shit on Rutgers head football coach's wife's face. I spread my ass cheeks and took a shit on her face.
Wow, that's a classy individual, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, I just want the caller to know that I have your number, and I'm going to spread it to everyone on every message board I can get, and probably the police department, Trey.
Well, I mean, yes. I guess he's all about spreading his cheeks. You know, there's more than one way to do it.
Yeah, maybe he can go to prison and spread it. It's probably where he is right now. They probably let him out. But hey, guy, if you're listening to me, you ever call this show again, then I will hunt you down talking like that. So let's go on to that game, Florida State. Florida State, man, very disappointed in them. But I'm going to go to the caller, the 732 area code. You're on Way In Sports. Who's this?
Hello?
Yes.
Hey, this is Jack. How are you?
Jack, are you a serious caller, or are you going to be like the last guy?
Wait, I'm sorry. I didn't realize what happened.
Oh, nothing. I'm joking with you. What's up, man?
How's it doing today, man?
Hello?
Yeah, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. What's up?
How are things doing? Things are good?
Yeah, I'm good. Go ahead.
So what do you want to talk about tonight? I'm just passing anything on.
Okay, I'm talking Florida State right now. What do you want to talk about?
You talking about football?
Yeah.
They win yesterday? I mean, yesterday?
Yeah, they did.
My team's Rutgers, man. We don't have,
All right, I have this guy's number, too. Everybody, listen to this number, 732-272-4106. Everybody that calls it will get 50 cents from Way In Sports, Trey. Are you in?
Well, I'm going to repeat it again, 732-272-4106, everybody. 3 o'clock in the morning, let's set our phone alarm clocks, let's all call this piece of, never mind, but anyway, that's funny. Florida State, Trey, I know you're disappointed because I've never heard you get angry over football too much, but when we were, when I sent you that text last night, you weren't in the best of mood.
No, I mean, yeah, you're right. I'm pretty level-headed about football. I generally don't care, but it's been a very tough weekend. Having my Packers lose, the Braves lost. You know, I mean, and then this I think the more frustrating thing is not that Florida State lost. It's losing the games that you shouldn't. And those are what have, you know, plagued Florida State. You know, it's not the fact that we lose teams that we should. It's losing the games that you shouldn't. And there's no way Florida State should have lost to NC State, who got blown out by Tennessee. So, you know, Florida State goes undefeated and loses to Florida at the end of the season. You know, that sucks. Or they lose the rival game, Miami. That sucks. But, you know, losing to an NC State game, this is, again, Jimbo Fisher not preparing his guys. And it's why I question whether or not Jimbo Fisher was the right move. I didn't like the way they let Bobby Bowden go. And I just don't like what Jimbo Fisher is doing at Florida State right now. He doesn't look like a big-time coach, Tarvin.
Well, one thing about him, he is recruiting great right now. So, I mean, I know one loss, it sucks because there are expectations. You were believing in Florida State. I was believing in Florida State. And that happened, it's just like it just busted your bubble, Trey. I understand, but I think Jimbo Fisher's a good coach. He has a lot to learn about games like that, though, because you can get up for the big ones, but you have to get these five-star athletes and guys up for the smaller games because those are the ones that knock you out every time. And that's what I'm disappointed in Jimbo Fisher in. You have to know that from your history. A Florida State tradition here lately, it's been choking these little games away, so – that's what I'm disappointed in. You've got to take everybody serious in football, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Well, let's move on to the next one.
You know, speaking of Miami, Tarvin, Miami number six, number six game, 4-1, traveling on the road in Notre Dame. I got to tell you, you know, I gave Quinn some talk about Notre Dame and how great their defense was, and I was like, well, let's just see. Well, I got to tell you, their defense really impressed me in this game. I mean, Miami came in, you know, their quarterback had thrown for like 600 yards this past game, 530 or whatever it was. And they just kept the whole team in check and really dominated on the defensive side of the ball. They still have offensive problems, but I really liked what Notre Dame did on defense. And really, I'm starting to believe in Notre Dame.
Yeah, I mean, I was wrong about Notre Dame, too. I thought they would be improved, but I still thought they'd be – I think I picked them – 8 wins maybe, but looks like they're going to exceed that. And that's one thing I take them serious about now is their defense is playing a lot better. I can't understand how this happened, but their defensive line is good. They've got tackle. They play fundamentally sound. So kudos to Notre Dame. If you're a Notre Dame fan out there, I was wrong, man. I'll admit it.
You know, going into next week, I mean, what do you guys think? I mean, Notre Dame – They're gonna host game day next week as Stanford comes calling. I mean, is Notre Dame for real? Are we gonna see them get beat by somebody they're not supposed to? What do you think? Well, I mean, how many wins now that you're looking at their schedule? How many wins do you think they're gonna have?
Well, I mean, now the Stanford. I think we both picked Stanford. I picked Stanford to lose to them, but that Southern Cal game, it looks more like Notre Dame has a good chance to win that one. But I don't think Stanford's gonna come into South Bend and win this game. Stanford's overrated. They're not that great on offense. So Notre Dame's defense at home, I think this could get ugly, Trey.
Yeah, I'm not, you know, what I'm seeing in Notre Dame's defense, I'm not exactly liking Stanford in this game, but very impressed with Stanford. You know, Quinn, if you're listening, very talented group of defensive players, and I got to give you credit this week.
He's probably in bed tonight. He's not listening to us now. That might have been him that called in right there, Trey.
Nah, Quinn's got more class than that.
I know he does, but anyway, on our show, we don't like calls like that, just so everybody knows. We didn't know that was going to happen. I apologize for that caller calling in like that.
Yeah, and I kind of thought that might be going south there, but, you know, Disney, you always get a hope that people are not going to call in and curse and that kind of stuff, so that was just very disappointing.
Yeah, but when his phone's getting blown up tonight, he'll remember that. There's caller ID out there, idiot, so just remember that.
All right, going on our next game, number 23, Washington, 3-1, went out to Oregon and got just blown out, Tarvin. I mean, did Oregon just solidify their place as a national title contender in this game?
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, their defense is playing a lot better. And I still want to see them play a real good football team. I don't think they've really played that team yet, but Oregon is the real deal from what you can see. It's just like Alabama. You know, they haven't played the teams yet, you see, but you know Alabama is probably the best team in the country. But looking at Oregon, watching them play, I think they're the second-best team in the country. So it's going to be interesting to see how Oregon does. Very impressed that they can just beat teams like they do, but very impressed with Oregon.
Yeah, I mean, their offense looked superb. I mean, they were just all over the field. They were super quick. I mean, they probably could have scored 70 this game. It just seems that this team can score at will. Definitely defense is improving. They go on the road next week, so, you know, I want to see this team, if they can go on the road and, you know, put up this kind of numbers again. But, you know, still 2 weeks away to that big USC game.
Yeah, we're going to see. 2 weeks away, we get to – it's more than that, isn't it?
Maybe three. It's
November
6th
or 5th or something like that. That's the same day Alabama and LSU play, I believe.
Yeah, November 3rd.
Okay, November 3rd, okay. Big date on the football calendar. You know, a lot could change. Just imagine if Southern Cal beat Oregon and LSU beat Alabama, all of a sudden you're going to have chaos again like you did last year.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that we're going to have that this year, but we'll see. I mean, this could be a year where you have maybe just two undefeated. I mean, it seems like people are starting to lose the game. So we'll see. I think Oregon is for real, though.
Okay. Take us on.
Next game was another blowout, unfortunately. Came in number 21, Nebraska, traveling up to Ohio State. Big expectations if you're a Nebraska fan. They really did not play very well. Taylor Martinez didn't look good. He kind of regressed like we thought he would on the road. And Ohio State really just dominated this game. They're clearly, I guess, the cream of the crop in the Big Ten.
Well, Trey, before we go on, a great question was asked in the chat room, man. This is a great question. I'm going to have to get off topic. What if Notre Dame goes undefeated and Oregon goes undefeated? Do you think they put Notre Dame ahead of Oregon with the love they always give Notre Dame?
I don't think they should.
No, I mean, they shouldn't, but would they?
I'm going to stick with it if they don't. I mean, Oregon would have beaten USC maybe once, but twice. And I just think that that's going to be enough for Oregon to be in the national championship.
Yeah, I agree. And Notre Dame hasn't proven it consistently. Oregon, for the last several years, they've been in BCS games. They have played in the BCS championship game. So the street credit right now is with Oregon. They've proven it on the field year in and year out. So I think there's not a shot.
And remember, Carvin and those guys out there, that not only would Oregon have to beat USC twice, possibly, but neither one of those times would have been at home for Oregon, which will matter obviously the computer ranking.
All right. Well, I'm going to take a call real quick before we start this Nebraska game. I think this is Jason Humphrey. I don't think he'll use profanity. How's it going, Jason?
Hey, Ryan, it's me, Jason. Just to your question, if Notre Dame and Oregon go undefeated, Oregon's going to play in Miami, no doubt. If Oregon wins the table, they will play in Miami because you look at the top 25, they got Stanford, which is a ranked team as of now. And Oregon State is a ranked team as of now. USC, they might play USC twice, and I think Arizona State will be ranked in 2 weeks. So that's four or five ranked teams that Oregon's going to have to play. And I think Notre Dame might have three ranked teams that they play.
Okay. That's a good point, Jason. And I think Oregon's going to make it. I think their schedule is tougher in waves because they will play Southern Cal twice, and the Pac-12 is a little better than what people thought. But, man, thanks for the call, and we appreciate you.
Yeah, I got one more question.
All
right, go ahead. Are you two buying in to Oregon's defense now? Because you two have been giving me headaches about Oregon's defense.
Well, I mean, but honestly, Jason, they haven't played well, but I've been seeing, like the other night when I watched them play, they look good, man. I mean, they look better, and they have talent on the defense this year, but I have been giving you grief about their defense, man.
Yeah, and one more thing. I told my wife last night, this is the best Oregon team I have ever seen, and yes, that includes the 2010 BCS title team, or title run, or game, whatever you call it. So this is the best Oregon team I have seen. So.
Well, all right. Well, Jason, I'm going to take your word for that. If you say it, I'm going to believe it, since you're so close to the program.
Okay.
But thanks, man.
All right,
you too, man. We're going to go to the phone lines, 530 area code. You're on Way In Sports. Who's this?
This is Joshua Shaw. I'd like to input on the Nebraska game and make a statement about Oregon. I believe Oregon is for real. I like what I've seen from them. Living out on the West Coast, I see a little bit more of them than some other teams. But as far as Nebraska goes, it was a major disappointment as a fan. You know, Taylor Martinez, the way he was throwing the ball last night, he was reverting back to his old ways. He wasn't setting his feet, and they abandoned the run game in the second half, which really, really killed them. And if Ohio State were eligible for the postseason, they would definitely have a say in the BCS title race. And the one thing I don't know if you guys agree with me on this, but I think Urban Meyer is just an unclassy coach. I mean, he ran up the score, you know, with like 40 seconds left. You know, they should have been in the victory formation. The game was well in hand, already a 20-point game or something like that, but it's uncalled for to run up the score like that, you know? Things like that really just, you know, I mean, I don't dislike the Buckeyes. I mean, they've got a great team, but to do something like that, it's just I had zero respect for Meyer when he was at Florida, but I mean, you know, I just think sportsmanship is cool, you know? It's not.
Yeah, and
not right.
I'll tell you what happened. What happened to Urban Meyer was he got his manhood taken away from him by Nick Saban. And he had to leave the SEC. So now he's trying to go play the bully in the Big Ten. I mean, he's a good coach. He can recruit and everything, but I can't take Urban Meyer too serious after seeing the way he ran out of Florida. But he is doing a good job there at Ohio State. But you're right. You have to show some class because it will come back to him eventually again.
Yeah. Completely agree with you about that statement. I mean, Saban really has, since he's came back from the NFL, he really has made his mark on the SEC again. But thanks for taking my call, and well, I listen every time, so keep up the good work, guys.
Well, thanks, man. We appreciate you calling in. Take care.
All right.
All right, Trey, that Ohio State game in Nebraska, were you surprised that Ohio State put up 63 points?
You know, surprised is the number because I agree with Joshua. I mean, the fact is Urban Meyer ran up the score and named the game. It was, I'm going to agree, it was total in class. I mean, that's not what you need to do. I hope Nebraska goes in and shows them next year because that's the kind of thing that Urban Meyer did at Florida. That's not uncommon for Urban Meyer to do. I don't even know. And the thing that doesn't make sense about that whole scheme is Urban Meyer's not playing for anything this year. He's not playing for, you know, the scenario, well, we're undefeated, we need to impress the voters by running up the score. And that's kind of the old school, you know, philosophy of, you know, you have to impress the pollsters. Well,
Ohio State's on probation. They're not going anywhere. They go undefeated. That's great. Good season. Go have a seat and watch everybody else play. So I didn't like that whole thing. I was impressed by Braxton Miller. I mean, this kid's legitimate. He's going to be there in New York for the Heisman Trophy ceremony at the end of the year. I don't think he's going to win it, but he's going to be there. Very impressed with Ohio State, but again, not very impressed with the Urban Meyer.
Yeah, he's just, like I said, man, he's trying to be the bully again, and he had to run away from the SEC because he knew going in he couldn't beat these SEC West teams, so he jumped ship, Trey, all that stuff with his health and family. I told you when it happened it was garbage, and I still believe to this day that was garbage. If that was the case, he wouldn't have taken a head coaching job so quick. So Urban Meyer will get what he's coming to him if that's why he's running up the score. I just think he might have a history with Bo Pelini as well.
Yeah, anything's possible then.
All right, take us off.
And moving on to these last three games, I don't think anybody would say that they were, these were shocker games. You know, a lot of people thought, especially this one, a lot of people thought that Texas was going to handle their business at home. 4-0, looking like the Texas of old, number 11 in the country. But, again, Geno Smith and West Virginia go in to Texas and beat them. So what did you guys think about what Geno Smith and West Virginia did on Saturday?
Oh, man, I was surprised. I thought Texas was going to come in and win this game at home. There was not a doubt in my mind, Trey, that Texas was going to win this game. But just looking at it, Geno, he's for real, Trey. I mean, he can score, I think, on most any defense right now. Texas is not the best defense in the world. Trust me, I'm not trying to say that. But he went on the road in a hostile environment against a decent defense and just chewed them up again. He didn't put up 8 touchdowns like he did the week before, but nobody expected him to. But he showed last night that he's got this Heisman Trophy wrapped up.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't have, 6-8 touchdowns, but he did throw 25 for 35 for 268 and 4 touchdowns. It wasn't like he was inefficient. I mean, this guy still put up fantastic numbers. Completions were all there. Throws on target and put the ball in the end zone right where it needed to be to win the game with very little time left to go in the game. I mean, Geno Smith put it right where it needed to be for that touchdown when there were, a minute left in the game. So, superbly impressed with what West Virginia and Geno Smith keep doing.
Very impressed. Looking at it, do you see any shot that they lose the Big 12? I think they play Kansas State this week, right?
Actually, I don't know who they play this week.
I think they play Kansas State. And if that's the case, do you think Kansas State can beat them?
I'm looking right now. Let's see. This week they're home against – no, I'm sorry, Tarvin. Texas Tech is in between there. They're on the road against Texas Tech, and then they got Kansas State the next week. So, obviously, that's going to be a very tough game for them. I think that, even next week at Texas Tech is going to be tough for them because, again, this is those kind of trap games that, they got the big win against Texas, the one that everyone thought they were going to lose. Well, now how do you play the next week? And, this is in between Texas and Kansas State, two highly ranked teams. What do they do against Texas Tech? So, again, you got to prove it each week you go out and play, Tarvin. You got to go out and do as well. So, for West Virginia to keep the national spotlight, they got to go out and dominate it again next week.
Well, I'll tell you this. I wouldn't overlook Texas Tech just because Tommy Tuberville, his entire career, he always beats these top-ranked teams, and he'll turn around and lose to everybody else. But you better watch out this weekend because, just his history, he knows how to win these games against highly ranked teams. So don't be surprised if Texas Tech shows up this weekend.
Yeah, exactly. Well, this is going to be a very interesting game. We'll have it on our picks next week for sure. So, we'll see if Geno Smith keeps doing it.
All right, let's move on.
All right, Carvin, LSU at Florida. This was a game a lot of people had LSU winning. I heard quotes like, well, Mettenberger's going to show up this week. He's going to figure it out. LSU plays to their competition. Well, the competition went out and kind of hit LSU right in the mouth in this game, Tarvin. And I was watching this game. Florida was ready. They hit hard. They hit LSU constantly, and they looked like a team that was ready, where LSU looked like the same team that we thought they were before. So what do you guys think about this one?
Well, I looked at it. LSU seemed like defensively they were dominating this game until their linebackers went out. And it just seemed like Florida was the more aggressive team and the more physical team, and they ran the ball hard between the tackles and ran right at LSU, gave them a dose of their own medicine. But, man, LSU's in trouble, Trey, if they don't find a quarterback. Mettenberger might be worse than Kyle Frazier right now.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that LSU is going to be competing for a national championship. I mean, even a one-loss SEC team has a shot at this point. I mean, LSU still controls their destiny for the national championship game because all they have to do is go out, beat Alabama, and win the SEC championship game. So, you know, if you're an LSU fan, you still got to like the fact that you control your destiny, but you got to be very, very concerned with the fact that, you know, Mettenberger doesn't seem to improve each week. He seems to be the same guy that you thought he was the week before.
Yeah, I mean, he's just not getting better. And in that game against Auburn, he played, and Auburn shut him down. I see why now, really, that Mettenberger is just not the quarterback that can win a national championship. And it just seems like, why does LSU never have good quarterbacks? The greatest talent that they have and everywhere else, they just can't get a good quarterback yet.
Yeah, I mean, they've had great guys who have been recruited, but they can't seem to get a guy who, you know, actually comes into the field and, you know, tears it up. But, you know, you got to – obviously, they don't seem to have a problem recruiting any other position.
Exactly, and I was impressed with Muschamp's ability to be able to run the ball. I mean, they're starting to get the pro style a little bit better. They're still not explosive offensively. I said that I'd be surprised if they scored 10 points. Well, they scored 14, so they shocked me. I think the only reason they scored that was because of the linebackers for LSU, Trey, going out.
Well, I mean, I don't know. Florida, obviously, this was a very – I knew it was going to be a low-scoring game, but Florida just had, it seemed to me, the desire to win this game. I mean, they seemed to want it, and they seemed to – their defense seemed to be playing at a much higher level. I mean, so maybe you're right, but Florida went out and did what they needed to and won this game.
Exactly.
Next week, South Carolina.
That's a big game. I'm sure that'll be on your top 10 games, right?
It may make it. last game, speaking of South Carolina, Georgia came in town and got whipped. Georgia overrated South Carolina? You know, are they that good? What do you think?
I think a little of both. I think South Carolina is good, but I think Georgia – very overrated on the offensive line. Remember, I picked Georgia to win the game, and I thought they would come in and beat South Carolina just because of South Carolina's receivers not really being able to keep up with Georgia. But what happened to Georgia's defense, man? They were supposed to be one of the top in the country, and they have all their players back now from suspension. It's just these guys can't stop anybody now, but you have to credit South Carolina for their defensive line, man. They just shut Georgia completely down, and Georgia's a hard team to shut down.
Yeah. This was the coming out game, obviously, for Clowney. I mean, this guy has had it before, but, I mean, this guy, I mean, he went from being a top number, you know, a first-round draft pick to being the number one overall draft pick. I mean, he showed that kind of talent in this game.
So to say college players don't get paid, right? He got paid last night, didn't he?
Well, yeah, he went from being just, you know, maybe a top 10 guy to being a guy who I think a lot of people are going to be considering as the number one overall prospect coming out of college.
Yeah, very impressed with the way they just shut him down. And, you know, South Carolina jumped out early and then they went conservative, which you can when you're up that much and your defense is as good as they are. You can kind of go a little more conservative to make sure you don't turn the ball over. But Steve Spurrier showed last night again. He's a great coach, and he's winning with defense now instead of like in Florida where he would just have to score a lot of points on you to beat you. Steve Spurrier knows how to run the football now and play defense.
Yeah, I mean, this game, I mean, obviously, Georgia didn't score until the very end of the game with less than 2 minutes to go. So, I mean, you got to be very impressed with South Carolina's defense. And, yeah, you're right. What happened to that, you know, vaunted defense of Georgia that was supposed to be able to shut down anybody? I mean, South Carolina ran all over them on the ground. I mean, Connor Shaw, Lattimore, even Miles, you know, had found running room in this game. So, Georgia's got some problems. They're gonna have to work out because it seems like people are gonna be able to move the ball against them.
Yeah, exactly. And before we go, Trey, I just want to let people know that Wednesday night, again, we're not going to have a show. I have some business I've got to go to, and we have a conference for work, so I won't be able to make it. But we need to talk about offline when we're going to have our show next week, because we do have to make these picks and get our show in. Whether it be a short show one night or not, we'll cut it down. But we'll definitely have our Sunday night show next week for the full time. But anything you want to add before we go?
Yeah, just we haven't really mentioned it. I don't know that anyone actually beat me in Pick'em this week, Tarvin. So I think we defended our house this week. I got 10 going in right now, correct. So, you know, you and I, you know, we'll get credit for this one. We held our serve this week, Tarvin. We held serve.
I'm just not understanding. Some of these games, they're just so hard to pick, some of them. And you think you've got it nailed, and all of a sudden – It turns the other way, so I'm going to have to get more serious about these games. You feel like you know it, and then it just goes right opposite. So I'll have to do a better job to protect it next week.
There you go.
Well, all right, everybody out there, thank you for listening. And remember the phone number I gave you earlier, 732-272-4106. Make sure you call that at least 100 times. Send some bulk text messages to them. I think you can send 10 in a row to them, blow their phone up. So thank you, everyone, for calling in. It's been a great show, and we really appreciate everyone. And we will keep you updated on our Weigh-In Sports page of when our next show will be.
All right, Tarvin, just post that number one more time to the message board now. People are asking for it.
Oh, the number again? Okay.
Yeah, put it on the message board, folks.
Okay, I'll put that on the chat room right now. Thanks, everyone, for calling in and participating in the show, and we'll see you soon.